Welcome to the Gren Hill Chronicles podcast. I am your host, Don Bishop, and I write as T.S. Pedramon. Now, it's late for me, I'm tired, and I have to get up early, so you get no visual on today's episode if you're watching this on YouTube. In today's episode, I will read you the third and final free installment of Nightshade Unicorn Forerunner. As I promised 2 weeks ago, I will now tell you where you can listen to more chapters of the story, but unfortunately I can't offer that for free because I'm serializing in Kindle Vella and they have rules. Kindle Vella is a paid platform and Amazon doesn't want their users paying for content that can be found for free elsewhere. So I'm glad to make the story available, but you will have to subscribe to the page. Now, in order to continue listening to the story beyond today's episode, you can go to my Substack, and that's available at grendhill.substack.com or grendhill.substack, that's substack.com. And if you want to jump straight to the serial content, which you can do, and I will post the first three chapters again over there on Substack, and the first three chapters will still be free, that direct URL is https://grendhill.substack.com/p/welcome. Now, as of December 7th, 2023, there is only a brief welcome episode uploaded to that serial. Give me at least a day or two to start posting the story there because I will not be using AI-generated voices. So that means I have to re-record chapter one, or rather, record it in the first place. Thanks to Descript's software with the studio sound feature, I've decided it's not too tedious for me to record myself reading to you, but it will still take me a little bit of time. Now, before we jump into the story narration for today, I need to mention our Fantasty contest that concluded last Thursday. I'd like to thank those who sent in your submissions. They all looked very tasty. We haven't had a chance to sit down and pick a winner yet, but I hope to do that in the next couple of days. And we can announce that next week and send the talented chef the $35 gift card we promised. So that is still pending. We haven't forgotten, but we won't have any announcement for that today. Also, please tune in next week when you'll be able to hear the first half of a very stimulating conversation with author J. Clifton Slater, with the second half of that conversation continuing in the following episode after that. But for now, you know, sit back and enjoy the story. Here comes the next chapter of Nightshade Unicorn Forerunner. As Alava finished arranging her hair that evening, a knock sounded at the door, tapped in the familiar pattern that she was waiting to hear. "Mother, I'm leaving," she called to the other room, where she could hear Melier's protests against his preparations. "Brelin is here." Alava opened the door to see her friend standing on the doorstep. "Okay," Mother replied. "I want to go with Alava and Brelin," Melier said. "You're not even dressed," Mother countered. "I'm almost ready. They just need to wait." "No, they won't wait. They have to get there early to rehearse the Greenstones dance." Alava rolled her eyes at her brother's antics, then smiled at Brelin. "Let's go." The two of them strolled through the village, happily joking about their favorite young men they expected to see at the observance. They watched the sun lowering in the west as the shadows lengthened around them and their conversation came to the here and now. "I'm so glad it's not hot like it was earlier today," Alava said. "What do you mean? It wasn't hot." "Oh," Alava blinked, thinking. "I guess you're right. Well, I was hot because I had to walk up to Pine Canyon and gather rosemary, but I was still wearing what I put on this morning against the cold." "I love your dress, though," Brelin complimented. "The piping looks very nice, especially with that green and purple combination. I know Delgan won't be able to stay away." "Thank you, but it definitely doesn't hold a candle to yours, Brel. Your white bodice with gold accents really brings out your dark brown hair. I wish I had hair like that. Alvern will love it, too." Alava punctuated this by poking Brelin in the ribs. "Like mine? But my hair is so normal." "Yes, nice and straight. It looks so lush." "Allie," Brelin turned her head to deliver the line. "Allie, your hair is gorgeous. and so much trouble. It's gorgeous, Brelin insisted, almost exotic. The curls are dignified. If you say so, Brel. Alava stopped fighting it, taking time to appreciate the beauty of the route they walked. The houses and shops they passed showed an aesthetic sensibility that reflected the town's status in the region. The cleft lay somewhat isolated and protected from main industry. Far enough away from the sea, its position above the confluence of the Five Creeks into the Night River, making it irrelevant for shipping goods to other lands. All the same, it received visitors often enough that the residents of the cleft were conscious of the world around them. Consequently, there was an air of caring about what they presented to the world, without crowding out the local culture in favor of sameness. Each building was either of brick or wood, material from mud and trees being readily available in the area, and often painted in pastel shades with the occasional deeper red or yellow hue, and roofed with thatch from the creek banks. Home fronts were generally kept clean, and signage announcing commercial enterprises in the town were reserved in appearance, giving an atmosphere of tranquil living but with no dearth of services available, should one need a shoe repaired or somewhere to buy a new coat. The two young women arrived at the town square as the cool of the spring evening set in, and they sought out Churlo Tunnigan, the mistress of ceremonies for the evening. They quickly found her surrounded by the other young men and women whose year it was for the crossing at Greenstone Observance.
"Girls, pardon me, young ladies, I'm glad to see you could make it for the most important day of the year as far as you should be concerned. Place yourselves over there with your fellow Greenstones, behind the Tanalska twins."
Alava and Brelin joined the Tanalskas in a double line at one corner of the green in front of the town hall, with the line extending along the side of the building, and stood with their feet apart, clasped hands resting in front of them. They could see some of the young men on the other end of the building facade, with the line disappearing from view along the opposite side of the building. Mistress Tunnigan scurried back and forth, ensuring the young people found the correct places and remembered their parts in the evening ceremonies. With this year's prospective ceremonial graduates into adulthood taking up two corners on one side of the square, Mistress Tunnigan had a lectern set up in one corner across the green in front of the building, and there was a small orchestra of musicians setting up their instruments in the remaining corner. As those participating in the ceremony prepared themselves, other helpers set up rows of tables and chairs on the cobblestones in front of the green, pulling them out of the town hall, which did not have enough space indoors for this evening's activities.
"Allie, look,"
Brelin whispered with a furtive glance across the front of the town hall. Alava looked across the way and nearly blushed as she saw Delgan's eyes jerk away from her and back to Master Tunnigan, who was addressing the young men at the moment. Alava quickly turned her gaze back to Brelin.
"Brel, we're not supposed to be talking right now. Just look forward. Allie, look again. We're not standing in the right spots if you want to dance with him."
Alava stole a glance over to the young men again. It was true. The dance they would perform for the town was choreographed so that it would pair each girl with a boy depending on her place in line. It didn't affect anything else in the ceremony, nor after. But one's position in line determined her partner during this routine. She rolled her eyes and smiled back to Brelin.
"That doesn't matter. It's just a ceremony, and you wind up with whomever you line up across from."
"Yes,
but that doesn't mean we can't try to make it a bit nicer, does it?"
"Shh."
Alava talked out of the corner of her mouth, looking forward and hoping her face didn't give away her eagerness.
"No," she admitted. "That's what I thought."
Brelin unsuccessfully tried to hide a conspiratorial grin.
"Don't worry. Brel's got you."
"What do you mean?"
"Young ladies, don't talk." Mistress Tunnigan returned to address the double line of young women. "Show the town that you can be grown up and practice some self-discipline, please. Do you understand?" All the young women nodded in reply. "Very well. I will be back again before we start." Mistress Tunnigan walked to her lectern and flipped through some note cards, then went to go talk to the band leader. Brelin didn't stop.
"I mean, I've got your back, Allie. Don't worry about it."
"What? Albwyn!"
Alava closed her eyes shut hard
trying to convince herself this wasn't happening.
No, leave the Tanalskas out of this,
she whispered sharply but almost inaudibly. Brelin ignored her. Some people just didn't want help, but she would provide it anyway.
Albwyn! Yalru!
Albwyn turned her head slightly.
Leave us alone!
Just trade us places, Brelin said.
Quick, while she's not looking.
I said leave us alone. Albwyn apparently didn't want Brelin's mischievous nonsense either.
Come on!
Brelin stopped abruptly as Mistress Tunnigan finished her conversation with the bandleader and walked back to face the group of girls. Girls, she spoke flatly, a serious tone conveying the weight of the matter in her opinion. You're still girls until after this. Then you'll be women, when this is over. Until then, be on your best behavior. Show us all that you're ready for this important step. You are our future, after all. She took a deep breath to punctuate her message, then turned around to walk back to her lectern. As soon as Mistress Tunnigan's back was turned, Brelin leaned forward towards the Tanalska sisters.
Come on, it doesn't matter to you, but it does to us. Just swap us places. I'll give you half my dessert at dinner.
Yalru turned her head. All of it.
3/4.
Yalru stepped to the side and back, opening her spot for Alabva. At the same time, Albwyn looked at her sister with surprise, then followed suit. Brelin shot Alabva a satisfied grin as she stepped forward into her new spot, and Alabva, flustered, now fully blushing, sheepishly stepped forward into hers. All was done in a moment. Mistress Tunnigan arrived at her lectern and turned, facing at an angle towards the crowd with a few stragglers now taking their seats. She shot a last look at her husband standing next to the orchestra, who gave a thumbs up accounting for the boys. She looked back at the girls, but appeared not to notice the last-minute swap. Then she looked to the audience.